under a third down. Takes the snap, swings it quickly out right to Percy at the 15. He eludes one tackle, make it two, inside the five, touchdown! You can't stop Percy Harvin. You can't stop him catching, returning kicks, or rushing. That's a 10-yard touchdown, and the Vikings are blowing out the Titans.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, joined weekly to start the show by Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. Thanks to Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of the Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. And that's where the place whence we originate into the Redskins game this weekend. Your team's 4-1. You're tied for first place. Congratulations, Leslie, on the great start.
Thank you.
Got Mike Shanahan, the coach of the Washington Redskins. You versus Shanahan this weekend. It's a big rematch, and it doesn't have anything to do with Christmas Eve or your very first victory in the NFL. What do you think I'm talking about?
Well, the time that me and Mike Wabashaw, the internet provider for our Vikings Live, spent some time with Shanahan and his staff down in Mobile, Alabama.
There you go. And your Senior Bowl team beat his Senior Bowl team. So I wonder if that's bulletin board material around Landover, the Washington, D.C. area.
I got a feeling they're not talking a whole lot about the Senior Bowl, Paul.
Harrison Smith, the rookie from Notre Dame, he was on your Senior Bowl team, wasn't he?
He was. He really was.
Did you begin to figure out at that moment that's a guy you wanted on your team? Because in talking to Harrison earlier in the week, I asked him that question, and he's like, when I left there, I had no idea where I was going to go, let alone the Vikings.
Well, as a staff, we were, of course, evaluating every player on our team along with the opposing team, and we were really impressed with Harrison. We had a need at safety, and some of the things we saw at the Senior Bowl really piqued our interest. And, of course, when we got back to Winter Park and began to do our evaluations, he was a guy that was high on our list. And as time went on, he became a priority for us. And fortunate for us, we were able to get him on draft day.
You've been here for quite some time now as defensive coordinator or as head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, 4-1 in first place against Washington this weekend. We haven't seen a safety who commands respect hitting in the middle of the field the way we have Harrison Smith in quite some time, correct?
Oh, I totally agree. What he's been able to do to give us an edge on defense that we've lacked here for a little while, and his ability also to play deep defense when the ball is thrown down the field, but some of the hits that he's made along with Jamarcus Sanford has really gotten people's attention around the league, and you need that in the secondary in particular from your safeties.
Now, with you, back when you played in 85, Fensick and Plank. I mean, those are a couple of well-respected, hard-hitting safeties right there. I'm not gonna have you put an impossible comparison on Harrison Smith, but does he play like Gary Fensick or Doug Plank?
He reminds me a lot of Gary. You know, Gary is one of those guys who had the range to play in coverage and also was a big-time hitter, whether you were running the ball or was a receiver trying to cross the middle of the field. And Harrison is a very bright guy. Gary, of course, was a very smart player as well. And so there are some similarities there.
After Harrison got kicked out of the game against Tennessee for shoving an official, what'd you say to him immediately after the game?
Don't ever let that happen again. I mean, that's not how we want to play. That's not how we want to conduct ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's not ever let that happen again.
And he wasn't suspended and he wasn't fined. In your estimation, was that the NFL conceding either a mistake was made or by getting kicked out of that game enough had been done?
You know, they spoke to me about the incident that Monday after the game and shared with me their thoughts. And the good news for us is that he wasn't suspended and he wasn't fined.
What are some things with your first place operation that need to improve? Now, you don't have to go through every single thing, but just boom, top of the head. What are some things on which your team needs to improve?
Well, we'd like to improve in all areas. I mean, there are a lot of things that we want to get done on offense. There are a number of things we want to improve on over the course of four quarters. On defense, there are a lot of things we want to improve on. You know, there are some specific things that we've talked about that we want to get better at, and even on special teams. So there are a lot of areas on our team we know we have to continue to improve on as the season goes on, and there are some things that are going to be out of our control, like injuries. But if we can hone in on some areas that can make us better, come November, December, it'll make us a better football team.
But fortunately, Leslie, nothing glaring, right?
No, there aren't any things that are, you know, that we don't feel like we can overcome. Some of the things that we are concerned about, we feel like we can get those fixed internally, but not to the point it can keep us from winning games.
Well, let's get hypercritical. You've given up a fair amount of touchdowns to tight ends. Mm-hmm. Gave up one last week to Jared Cook. We got Dwayne Allen, Mercedes Lewis, Vernon Davis. Brandon Pettigrew dropped an easy one. So is that something that needs to improve specifically in the red zone?
Nope. For us, Paul, I think we've talked about this before. It's always about points allowed.
Yep.
The team we played on Sunday, the Tennessee Titans, they scored one touchdown in the fourth quarter. We gave up 7 points the week before with Brandon Pettigrew.
Yep.
In the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. They scored one touchdown. For us, it's always about points allowed. There are times we're going to want to take away certain receivers and some tight ends. But when we played San Francisco, I mean, their tight end, Vernon Davis.
Yeah.
Very good tight end. I think we limited him to less than 5 catches, and he's mm-hmm. a big-time guy.
Yep.
But more importantly, Paul, 13 points for the San Francisco 49ers. So for us, it's always about points allowed.
And only 7 for the Tennessee Titans. Leslie's Vikings are giving up 15.5 points per game, only 78 rushing yards per game, which is phenomenal. Is it an advantage or disadvantage, Leslie, having the bye in Week 11?
Man, that's hard to say. You know, for us, we're so focused on one game at a time, the Washington Redskins game. I haven't even looked that far ahead to even think about our bye and who do we play before the bye or after the bye. I just haven't given that a whole lot of thought, Paul.
So it doesn't really matter. Defensively, you haven't trailed for 3 games. What is clicking so well overall with the defense?
I think for us, the guys are really bought into some of the things that Allen has introduced from a defensive standpoint. They have a lot of confidence in the system and what we're trying to get accomplished. And they're playing great as a unit, and we're playing with a lot of energy. You know, guys are flying around. They know exactly where they're supposed to be and what's expected of them. But the fact they're playing as one, that's probably the difference in our defense from now and in the past.
Robert Griffin III, the dynamic rookie, what are some keys, let's start, say, with your defensive ends in defending RG3?
Well, we're really going to have to be smart about our rush lanes. We talked about it throughout the week. Lane integrity is going to be so important. You can't just run up the field if you're a defensive end and think you're going to be able to come back. No, we got to be able to ball him up and keep him in the pocket, because he's really hurt a lot of teams being able to scramble and with some of the things he does with their bootleg game. So discipline, rush will be the key this weekend for us.
And with the back seven, whether it's nickel or 4-3 base, I would imagine not biting too hard on the play action, because he seems to be pretty good at it.
He's very good at being able to run play action. That's part of it has been a part of Mike Shanahan's staple when it comes to offense, going all the way back to John Elway. They were so good at running the football and getting linebackers and safeties to bite up and then being able to throw the ball over the top of your defense. So, yes, our back end will have to be smart. We'll have to be disciplined as well when it comes to play action pass.
Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier with yours truly, Paul Allen, on Vikings Live from Winter Park. 3:25 kickoff this weekend against the 2-3 Washington Redskins. Who's running back Alfred Morris, and what is he to us?
Man, you know, he's a guy who is somewhat unknown, you know, came from, I think it was Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
But he averages 98 yards rushing a game, which is pretty impressive, almost 100 yards rushing a game. And he's been really their bell cow when it comes to running the football, and he's a guy that we'll have to contend with. He has the ability to get on the perimeter of your defense, but he can also run inside as well. And he's a hard guy to tackle. So we've been paying a lot of attention to him in practice and watching tape, and we'll have to get a lot of people to the football to get him on the ground.
Cedric Griffin, he's missed the last 2 games for the Redskins. Former Vikings Cedric Griffin, when he plays, how do they use him?
They still use him at the corner position, but they're using him more in the nickel situations as opposed to being in their base defense. So he'll come in the game when there are multiple receivers on the field, and he looks like he's much improved.
Yeah, things kind of fell off for him a little bit last year. What was the reason for that?
Well, I trace it back to the second ACL surgery. I mean, that was hard for him to overcome, and then not having an off season to really spend the time with our training staff to get back to where he was the year before. So I'd go back to that ACL, the second ACL, and say that had a lot to do with his performance a year ago.
One of their safeties next to Reed Dowdy is Madiu Williams, also a former Viking. How's he playing?
He's playing well. I mean, he seems to be energized. He's playing with some youth, making a lot of plays in them in the pass game as well as in their run defense.
Have they been able to overcome the losses of Adam Carricker and maybe, more importantly, Brian Arakpo rushing from the outside? They lost those guys for the season a couple of weeks ago.
Those are two very, very good football players, in particular Brian. And Adam is a good player as well. But it's hard to say whoever is going to step in either player's place is going to be as good as they were. They were outstanding players.
How special was it for you in 2010 when you took over as interim head coach and you won your first game at FedEx Field? And I'll never forget that third, and I think it was nine or whatever, Brett Favre running at the end of the game, running right up the middle to get that first down and seal the deal. Then he ran over and gave you the ball. How special was that moment?
That was a great moment. I have a lot of respect for Brett, as you know, and for him to tuck that ball under his arm and get the first down. I mean, he wasn't known as a great scrambler at that point in his career. For him to do that and seal the deal for us, I mean, that was a special moment.
Looking for things to improve, maybe, Leslie, Blair Walsh has 17 touchbacks. That he's going to have a million more than last year, which is fantastic. He had five last game. But from that standpoint, he kicks it out of the end zone so frequently. Does that in any way hinder your kick coverage team in that they're just not getting rep after rep after rep?
It can. It's funny you say that, but I've seen it. When a team gets as many touchbacks as we're getting, and we face that sometimes. We face opposing teams. They're not accustomed to covering kicks.
Yeah.
And so they tend to have a little bit of a lapse, and we have to guard against that because Blair's doing a great job. We don't want him to stop kicking touchbacks. We want that to happen, but we got to do a better job of covering kicks when they decide to return to football.
We know Josh Robinson, your cornerback, who started last week. We know he's fast. What else does he do well?
Well, he's become a very good tackler. You know, we thought he was a good tackler coming out of college, but, boy, he has been impressive coming up at the corner position, nailing some guys at times, and his coverage is really coming along, but his tackling has been very impressive.
And Josh has an interception, kind of an unsung hero on a team where you hear a lot about Percy Harvin and some other guys. Another unsung hero, in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, LaTroy Guyon, a couple of sacks. It's you know, from my standpoint, it appears like he's having the best season of his career so far.
Oh, without question. He has really matured as a player. The way he uses his hands now, his feet, and the studying. I mean, this is a guy who, he'll tell you this, he was not a student of the game in years past. But one of the things that really clicked for him, when the organization, we made a decision to award him with a contract in the offseason, he came in and he told me, he said, "Coach, I'm so appreciative of what you and the staff and the organization has done. I'm not going to let you down. You know, I owe you." And I said, "You don't owe me anything. You just do your job and we'll be happy, you know." But that what it meant for him was, I'm going to start a little bit harder. I'm going to do everything that coaches ask him to do and try to improve. And he has taken his game to another level.
That's fantastic. Leslie Frazier, coach of the Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. A couple of quickies to close here. The Vikings are on pace to have like triple the pass breakups it had last year. Obviously, that's phenomenal. But what's so much different? Is it the upgrade of talent? Is that number one?
I think that definitely has something to do with it. You know, better players really helps you be a better coach. And but also, I think Allen has done a great job, along with Joe Woods and the rest of our defensive staff, of just sharpening things up a little bit and making sure the guys are where they're supposed to be and they understand what's required of them at their positions. And you see in the results and what we're doing on defense.
And Chris Cook, he's rarely splashy. No interceptions. He's not a tackle for loss guy like Winfield, but he averages two passes defensed a game. Is it safe to say Chris is doing what you want him to do and he's very stable?
Without question. I was thinking about him early in the week. Just he's really beginning now to get to the form that he had prior to, you know, being away from our team. So his confidence has really grown. He's much more in sync now with what we're asking from a defensive standpoint. He's in football shape now. So he is about where we want him to be. He's really come along.
Why can't John Carlson get on track?
Well, you know, we're trying. We've got some things in each ball game and each game plan that we have on track for him. But unfortunately, we haven't been able to get the ball to him when we wanted to. But it's a long season. There are going to be opportunities for John.
And he got hurt at just the worst time, right? I mean, Ponder, you know, he's establishing the red zone rapport with Kyle. You're going to use Percy all over the place. Simpson comes back. I mean, he really got hurt at an awful time.
Yeah, it would have been so good for us and for him to have been able to be a part of our offense during the preseason so that, you know, Christian along with Bill could have got a better feel for him. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case, but we'll figure out ways to get him the ball.
Is Christian Ponder at his best inside the 20, in the red area, and in the fourth quarter?
Well, he's really grown in that area for sure. I mean, our production in the red area has really improved, and a lot of it goes back to Christian. That's one of the ways you can define, you know, and determine how well a quarterback is doing. How well is he doing the red zone along with what he does on third down in 2 minutes? And Christian in the red zone has produced points for us. He's done a great job of taking care of the ball, not taking points off the board. And that's a sign of a quarterback that understands his role.
And Christian's completion percentage inside the 20, top five in the NFL. You guys are 15 of 15 on scoring inside the 20, including with nine touchdowns. Last one. You and general manager Rick Spielman, what interaction do you guys have after games? What's the analysis like either immediately after the game or Monday when you start breaking it down?
He'll come in on a Sunday after a game in the locker room where I am and, you know, talk to me about things that he saw or injuries. You know, we'll get an injury update and try to figure out if there are any moves that need to be made. But we really don't talk about the game a whole lot until that Monday. We'll come back and we'll watch some tape together, and then we'll break the game down and just talk about what we need to do going forward.
Excellent job, Leslie, with the team this year. You're tied for first place with the Bears into the week, and you're undefeated at FedEx Field. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Paul.
Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. I'm Paul Allen on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park continues on the Vikings Radio Network. We thank Leslie Frazier for the elongated conversation on the first-place Minnesota Vikings. And now we welcome defensive backs coach Joe Woods into the conversation. Joe's been with the Minnesota Vikings several years. In fact, you've been here through a couple of head coaches. Came in with Brad Childress. You came here with Mike Tomlin. Mike leaves, goes to Pittsburgh, and becomes the head coach there. Brad Childress obviously stays as the head coach. Then Brad leaves. Leslie's the head coach. It's why I bring it up is it's not always like that, Joe, right? You get a new coach, and, you know, sometimes you have to get a new job.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate to be here for as long as I have. Just the experiences I had with each of the head coaches, the different coordinators, I feel very blessed. Just have to keep doing my job. Hopefully I can stay here longer.
When Mike went to Pittsburgh, did he want to bring you with him?
Yeah, there was some talk, but, you know, I told Mike I was happy in Minnesota. They believed in me. I wanted to do my job. That's why they hired me. So it was tough because I grew up in Pittsburgh. You know, I'm still a Steelers fan, but I'm just happy just to have a job in Minnesota.
And you're very well respected here. Would the next step for you, maybe not necessarily here, but anywhere, become a defensive coordinator?
Yes, I have aspirations to become a coordinator, but right now my focus is just being the best defensive back coach I can be. And if I get an opportunity down the road, that'd be great. I'd look forward to it. But right now I just want to help us win.
You talked to coordinator Alan Williams about that? I mean, I think he started in Indianapolis in like 2002. He was there for several years as DB's coach. Took him a while to get the post of defensive coordinator, but he finally did.
Yeah, I've known Alan for quite a few number of years. He started off in Tampa. He was with Mike Ashley, I think, in 2001.
Yeah.
So we've always talked over the years just in terms of things we were doing defensively. You know, he was in the same situation I'm in now. He got an opportunity. Les knew him, trusted him, gave him the opportunity to come in and run the defense. He does a great job, and hopefully in the near future I get the same opportunity.
It's so much different for you this year from a talent standpoint, but really from an overall defensive standpoint. Vikings give up about 15.5 points per game. You know, and near the end of the season last year, you had Marcus Sherrills running in and out. Benny Sapp was here. Cedric Griffin was here. Asher Allen was on the team. Winfield was hurt. Cook was he wasn't on the team at the time. It's so much different for you this year with Cook and Winfield, Josh Robinson, then Harrison Smith back there. Jamarcus Sanford's playing better this year than he did last year. How much different is it for you? How much easier is it to coach this thing up?
Well, it's a lot different. Last year, you know, it was a tough year. We struggled through injuries and different circumstances that happened. We're right now, we have all the guys. You know, we kept 11 DBs. So I feel really good about the depth. We have a lot of smart, athletic, talented players. I feel like at any given time, any one of those guys could go in a game and play at a high level. So, you know, we feel good about it as a group in the secondary. As a coaching staff, we feel good. We just feel like we have a lot of depth.
Talk to me about Harrison Smith. He got fined in the preseason, just got kicked out of the last game, and I know he felt really bad about it, put a major hit on Kendall Wright during that game, and also hit Calvin Johnson so hard in the middle of the end zone he knocked the ball away. We haven't seen safety hitting like that with the Minnesota Vikings in quite some time, Joe.
Yeah, Harrison, he's a very physical player. He's come in. He's done a great job. He's very smart, and he's just always in the right spots. It's good to see him make those type of hits because we make those hits. You know, the opponents see that on tape.
Mm.
So, you know, they have to question, hey, I'm going across the middle. Somebody going to light me up. So Harrison's brought that to the defense. I think a lot of guys see it and appreciate it. And again, it's been a long time, but hopefully we see a lot more.
Joe, did you see that in the latter stages of the Lions game with the great Calvin Johnson? You know, he got hit by Greenway. Chad eventually gets fined $21,000, but Harrison hit him hard in the end zone and jarred the ball away. And at the end of the game, when Calvin, out of the slot or wherever, went over the middle, he just didn't look like the same Calvin Johnson, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I really don't want to put that out there. You know, I think everybody saw the game and they saw the plays. But when you have an opportunity to make some big hits across the middle of the field, guys start to question what's going to happen. And I don't know if that happened to Kelvin or not, but it was good for us.
Joe Woods, Vikings defensive backs coach, is on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Antoine Winfield plays the nickel role and rotates with Josh Robinson last game. Mm-hmm. What went into that decision to have Josh start?
Well, we talked about that whole situation in the back end with Josh and Antoine and some other guys included in that. We really just want to make sure for Antoine, he's an older guy, he's a veteran. We want to try to keep him healthy. He plays the game very aggressively. Everybody knows he's a physical player. So we're just trying to take a couple of reps off of him and also give Josh and some of the other guys more experience.
We know Josh Robinson is fast, but what else does he do well?
He's very smart. He's a confident player. He's very wired in. You can see how the guys are really just gravitated to him just in terms of what he brings to the table. I like him. When I first got him from Central Florida, I knew that there were some things technique-wise I'd have to teach him, and he really just learned fast. Each game he gets a little bit better, but for the physical nature that he brings out there on the field and for the cover skills that he brings, he's been a great addition to what we have back there.
Joe, what does Chris Cook do well?
Cook does everything. He's a big athletic corner. I always say he's a big corner that has little man skills. He has quickness, change of direction. He can bend. You know, he's getting better just in terms of playing physical. There's a lot of things he does well, and we feel good about matching him up against other teams, especially when they have big receivers.
And he had his professional part of his career snatched away from him last year because of that off-the-field thing. When you got him back and you started to go full throttle on him, did you have to rebuild his confidence overall, personally and professionally?
Well, I wouldn't say I had to rebuild his confidence from a professional standpoint. The main thing I talked to Chris about was, you know, we all make mistakes. You know, I certainly made my mistakes. You just have to learn from it and move on. You don't want things that you do off the field to affect things that you're capable of doing on the field. I think he's grown from that standpoint, and hopefully, man, he stays out of trouble and continues to get better on the football field.
He has 10 passes defense, Joe. That's number one on your team. But he has no interceptions throughout his career. How close is he?
He's very close, and when I evaluate that, we always look at it and say, did he really have an opportunity to make the play on the ball, or, you know, was it a legitimate pass breakup? He's had a few opportunities. He knows. He comes to the sideline. He'll acknowledge that. He's being aggressive. I see him getting better each week, and I think those interceptions are going to come in bunches for him.
Jamarcus Sanford is playing better at safety than he did last year. Do you attribute more of that to the experience of last year, or throughout training camp and preseason, he and Mr. L. Raymond were battling for a starting spot, and Mr. L. Raymond won. Was that eye-opening to Jamarcus so that now he has it and he doesn't want to relinquish it?
Yes, you know, that's true. Jamarcus is a very competitive player. We let those guys compete in the preseason, and we just felt that Mistrell deserved to start at the beginning of the season. But I told Jamarcus, I said, hey, at any given moment, you can be in there. We can create some packages for you to be in there. And the biggest thing for Jamarcus is that last year was his first full year starting. So any player, man, they start 1 year, they come back the next year. You hope for improvement. You hope that they've gained experience and knowledge. And that's exactly what happened to Jamarcus. He's more confident. He understands the coverages, what we're asking him to do, and you can see it show up on the field.
Robert Blanton had to replace Harrison Smith last week, his first significant duty defensively, Joe, as a rookie from Notre Dame. How did he do?
Oh, he did a great job, man. I was proud of him. Actually, the last 2 weeks, you know, after our meetings, I've been talking to Robert because he also plays. He's a backup nickel. And I said, hey, make sure you stay on top of everything in terms of what we're asking the nickel to do this week, what we're asking the safeties to do this week. Because I said, you're one play away from playing 40, 50 plays.
Wow.
And it just happened, you know, that Sunday. And he went out there and did a great job, man. I'm proud of him.
How does Washington try to beat teams offensively?
Washington, there's a couple things that they do. You know, offensively, they have some unique formations and, you know, passing game attacks that they use. We're aware of them. We played them, you know, the last 2 years. There's some unique things they try to do when they get you in your sub packages. The biggest thing for us is not really about what they're going to do offensively. It's about us executing our technique. As long as we can do that and guys are in the spots they're supposed to be, we should have a good game.
Excellent job, sir, not only with the defense but with the conversation tonight. I really enjoyed it. Hopefully you did too.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, no problem. Joe Woods, defensive backs coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Be sure to join me and Paul Charchian tomorrow morning from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings and Mall of America for the Friday Football Feast. Find the complete schedule at Vikings.com or on my show page, the Paul Allen Show page at KFAN.com. We'll chat with our man in the middle. Middle linebacker Jasper Brinkley is next on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, joined by our man in the middle. If you watch the games, you see the 54 all over the place. If you listen to the games, you hear some thumping calls when plays are made by middle linebacker Jasper Brinkley, who's nice enough to join us now. Jasper, welcome to the radio show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
4-1, and you go to FedEx Field to take on the Washington Redskins. You as the starting middle linebacker and now the nickel guy with Chad Greenway, you got to be happy with the way things are not only starting for the team, but starting for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm pleased. And just knowing the long road I had to take just to get back where I am now, I'm very pleased with it.
What was that road? You come from South Carolina. You're here in 09. It's obviously a very good season. EJ gets hurt in that Sunday night football game at Arizona. Then for a very good team offensively led by Brett Favre, you're the middle linebacker. That definitely was something that hit you quickly, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, I didn't have any time to look back. I just had to step into the role and continue to move forward. And EJ kind of brought me along during his injury and kind of groomed me a little. And like I say, I tell everybody, man, I really appreciate him for the things that he helped me with when I first got in.
How fast did it go for you that season? Because I remember in talking to Rick Spielman, who was the vice president of player personnel at that time, you know, even though you wouldn't show up with a lot of splashy things in games, he would credit you for gradually, whether it was just one or two things a week, Jasper got better at this, Jasper got better at that. Was it a slow progression in 09?
I think it definitely is. Being a rookie playing in a game that high level and ultimately having the opportunity to play in the NFC Championship game against the Saints, you know, that was the biggest game in my career so far. And just going into the game, I played in front of big crowds, but nothing like how the Superdome was down in New Orleans.
Now, into the season, when people would analyze the defense, Jasper, they'd look at the back end. Harrison's new. Chris Cook hadn't played in a while. Winfield got hurt last year. But in fairness and conversation, a lot of the questions involve the linebackers in that this is your first full year as the starting middle linebacker. And Aaron Henderson, also a starter last year, but now he was going to be the nickel guy into the season. Mm-hmm. Did you hear those question marks into the season from fans and media? And if so, what'd you think?
Yeah, I definitely heard them, but I really didn't pay too much mind to them because in this locker room and around the team, we know what we have in the locker room. We know what we have in our linebacker core, and like I say, we have every guy in our linebacker core, I think, can be plugged in that nickel situation and be able to play it at a high level.
So you're the green dot guy. You're the communicator, right?
Right.
What's that like when Alan Williams delivers the play to you in the headset and you have to disseminate it to the team?
You know, that's my responsibility. Like I said, it's always a different role that you have to take being a quarterback of the defense. And, you know, guys are going to follow your lead. So you have to carry yourself in a certain way on and off the field.
What do you do if the play set to come in, say it's at home, say it's like that Tennessee or the Niners game where the crowd's super loud, mm-hmm. and you can't hear the play, what happens then?
Coach gives me the freedom to be able to call whatever I want to call. I mean, if I can't hear the play, call our base coverage.
So you obviously do a lot of film work and a lot of school work up to the game, so therefore if you see, for instance, this weekend, Robert Griffin III and the shotgun, got Alfred Morris to his left, couple of receivers to the right, you have a general idea of what defense you want to put the team in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Never going to the game not knowing. You can never do that as a middle linebacker.
So, Jasper, do you have flexibility to change plays? In other words, say something comes in and say you're going to blitz, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden the quarterback's like, oh, okay, I see this, this, and this, and you want to change into a cover two. Can you do that?
Yes, coach will give me that flexibility.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jasper Brinkley, our middle linebacker, is on Vikings Live at Winter Park. We have the Redskins this weekend. Robert Griffin III, what do you think about his game?
Very versatile quarterback. Can make all the throws in the pocket. maybe one of the best quarterbacks I've seen that can roll out of the pocket and make a couple of throws also. Like, it's very rare that you be able to see an NFL quarterback making a lot of throws on the run, and he's definitely one of the ones that can do it.
I hear he has really good footwork, that right. when that he just turns that thing around quickly and wham,
oh,
there
yeah.
it goes.
Oh, yeah, he definitely does.
So is a big key against Robert Griffin III, Jasper, to not let him get outside on the edge?
Yeah, I really think so. Quarterback of his caliber, speedy guy, yeah, you really don't want him to get on the edge.
Does he want to throw first or does he want to run first?
I think he wants to throw first. He's very good in the pocket. He can make, like I said, he can make all the throws. Yeah. He's a very good quarterback.
And then you have that tight end Fred Davis who's sneaky good, right. especially in the middle of the field, and he right. catches touchdowns too. And
oh, yeah.
Does part of that responsibility fall on you or all the linebackers or the safeties or what?
Yeah, all the linebackers in the back end. And like I say, if he gets outside of the defense, we really have to, you know, lock on to our man.
This will be your first outdoor game of the season on a grass field.
Mm-hmm.
Old school football. It's right. a 3:25 game. Hopefully the weather's good, but you're on a grass field. Do you love situations like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I haven't played on grass in a while, and just have the opportunity to play on it is good. It'll be good.
What about the defensive tackles in front of you? LaTroy Guyon, in my estimation, is having his best season as a pro. Kevin
right.
Williams next to him.
Right.
I mean, he's still one of the better defensive tackles in the NFL. How do they help you? How, LaTroy and Kevin Williams, how does their success translate into your success?
They definitely keep the linemen off of us, and that's all the linebackers. They keep the linemen off of us, and we're able to play fast. And, you know, Jared and Brian on the outside, and they're getting pressure on the quarterback. You know, those guys have been playing their tails all year this year, and I can't commend them enough, because without them, you know, that's where the defense starts, in the trenches.
Make your game better in closing.
Oh, yeah.
As the starting middle linebacker and now the nickel guy with Chad Greenway, make your game better. What are some things on which you need to work that will help you become even a better middle linebacker?
I think overall it can be everything. You know, it can be getting better on against the run, getting better against the pass. I think my game can excel at every level. Every level.
Are you comfortable blitzing?
Yeah, I'm very comfortable blitzing.
You like that, right?
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming by.
No doubt. Thanks for having me on.
Jasper Brinkley, middle linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings. Hey, protect the football of Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience, Buffalo Wild Wings discounts, and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. More Vikings Live at Winter Park coming up next on the Vikings Radio Network. All righty now, let's wrap up Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Vikings Radio Network with a weekly guest, Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. It's the Vikings and the Washington Redskins this weekend. From a video standpoint, Wabi, what do you have at Vikings.com right now that's new from the last time we chatted?
We have Pick 6. That's our weekly video mailbag. We have a lot of fun with that. Sometimes we have...
Oh, you did a feature on Donovan McNabb.
Wow.
Okay.
Why do you do that?
I'm sorry.
Man.
Yeah, we're in first place. There's no reason to...
We're not looking back.
Anyway,
looking
I'm
forward.
Sorry. Yeah, we're not throwing it to Sean Phillips anymore, nor no short hops like Tsuyoshi
anyway,
Nishioka. It's all good right now.
The Pick 6 video mailbag is up there. We got with Jamarcus Sanford. We're
yeah.
going to post that up on the website under mm-hmm. the lights feature. Highlights from last week, press conferences, the Wobcast, Josh Robinson, who you just talked about him with Joe
yeah,
Woods a couple segments
Wobcast.
Ago. So Josh Robinson joined us on the Wobcast. So fans can check that out. There's tons of stuff. And I got to be honest, when we're winning games at the rate we are, it makes it a lot easier to put new, fresh content up there. And we've been crushing it. So it's been a lot of fun.
And they line up to do the Wobcast, don't they? When they're 4-1, it's you. Do you go alphabetically now and you just happen to be on the S's for Jamarcus Sanford?
I'll tell you what, Chad Greenway yells at me all the time because he wants to get on there. I think it's not because he thinks the Wobcast is cool. It's because he wants to get on there and make fun of me on my own show.
The Wobcast at Vikings.com is so popular right now that you're having to turn down Christian Ponder, Adrian Peterson, and Percy Harvin to just save them for later in the season when we're what? 10-1, 11-2, something like that?
Keep going. Nothing can stop us now.
Oh, that'd be phenomenal. And another victory in Washington this weekend would mean we're still having fun at 5-1.
Listen, Leslie Frazier has already defeated Mike Shanahan once this year down mm-hmm. in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl.
So Very big spot.
Why not two? Let's make it two.
Well, let's make it four because he has beaten the Washington Redskins two times. His first victory in 2010. Then last year, you know, according to a lot of the fans, we inexplicably won a game on Christmas Eve you know, because even though nobody at the time knew Robert Griffin III was coming out, you know, and you go ahead and tell Brandon Fusco, who, by the way, earned a job as a starting right guard in that game by playing so well, we have momentum against the Redskins. It needs to continue this Sunday.
Listen, Chad, you know, I know that you Listen, Chad, I know you might lead the league in tackles if you have a good game, and I know we just gave you a really big contract, but please let Fred Davis catch a touchdown and lose the game.
Yeah, Percy, you're having a wonderful December, but you know what? We're going to cut your reps with, we're going to split your reps with Stephen Burton. You know, because we just, we're looking ahead to April. And Jared Allen, you're on your way to potentially breaking Michael Strahan's record. But we're going to let Everson Griffin or Christian Ballard play a little more, you know, simply because, it's you know, we're in the middle of a losing season.
Listen, Devin, you know, I know there's really good wide receivers who are coming out in the draft this year, and we might take one high in the first round. But I tell you what, can you please just throw this game for us?
Yeah, absolutely. And Christian, just go out there and get killed. We want you to have a thick gash at the top of your nose and bad ribs and a bad butt cheek so that you can't even sit down. Yeah, Christian, just go ahead and let London Fletcher hit you.
What's happened to us?
I have no idea, but we're certainly having fun at 4-1, and it could get better this weekend. But as you and I chat about either on my show, on the flagship FM 100.3, The Fan, or KFAN.com, tricky spot right here, you know, and they're all difficult, and I know that's a cliche, but guess what? They're all difficult, and if you don't think they are, ask New England about hosting Arizona and Aaron Rodgers about going to play a rookie quarterback in Indianapolis. So the convincing victory over Tennessee, outstanding. Winning at Ford Field despite no offensive touchdowns, fantastic. The San Francisco moment, best of the season. This Redskins team is very tricky, Wobby.
I think so, too. And there's two things about their offense that I think the Vikings have to focus on. First of all, this is the fourth best rushing team in the NFL. Yep. And the Vikings and Leslie Frazier, they pride themselves on being a good team rushing the ball offensively, a good team stopping the run. Well, this Redskins defense is good at both of those things too. Offensively, fourth best rushing team in the NFL. They have a rookie six-round pick out of Florida Atlantic named Alfred Morris.
Yep.
You guys talked about him earlier in the show. He's averaging almost 5 yards per carry. The guy breaks tackles. The first defender rarely gets him. He runs downhill really well. This is a Redskins offensive line that's used the same starting lineup all five games, which is a change from what Washington has been able to do the last few seasons. They've had some injuries on their offensive line in the past. This season, they've been healthy. They're playing with good camaraderie. So this is a Redskins team that can run the ball. And then Robert Griffin III is basically their second running back.
Yeah.
He's averaging over 5 yards a carry on 42 tries. So this guy, when he pulls it down and runs, it's no joke. He's like a running back. He makes defenders miss. He picks up yardage. He's not looking to slide. That came back to bite him last week because he suffered a concussion. But, you know, he's very good running the ball, and he is the NFL's highest completion. He has the NFL's highest completion percentage. So Robert Griffin III, a true dual threat, and then Alfred Morris, a very good running back right now.
Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com on Vikings Live from Winter Park. The kickoff from FedEx Field this weekend on the flagship, 325. The pregame begins on the flagship at 1 o'clock, Vikings Radio Network affiliates. You pick it up at 2 o'clock. It's called Vikings Football Sunday. Now, the situation this weekend against the Redskins is, defensively speaking, you look at like London Fletcher and Ryan Kerrigan and Barry Cofield in the middle. He's a big thing to move. They have some nice players in their front seven, and they have D'Angelo Hall as one of their cornerbacks, but they definitely are prone to giving up explosive passing plays.
Yeah, I think that they are too, and I haven't, you know, I can't diagnose why exactly that is. Mm-hmm. I think D'Angelo Hall is a terrific player. I mean, I think he is.
He's a gambler.
Yes, that's what he is, and his interceptions come in bunches. He has 36 over his career, so the guy's a good player. Now, to take advantage, though, of that Redskins secondary, what I think you have to do first is be able to run the ball. And this is a tough team to run against.
Yeah.
They have some run stuffers up the middle. They run an odd man front, okay? But it's hard to find creases against these guys. You mentioned Barry Cofield in his seventh year, used to play for the New York Giants. They have Stephen Bowen, who used to play for Dallas. Those two up the middle, really good against the run. And then they have a defensive end named Jarvis Jenkins, 6'4", 315, excellent against the run.
No relation to Janoris.
No, not at all. Janoris is really good against the pass. This guy is really good against the run.
Yep.
So in order to loosen things up and be able to pass the ball against the secondary, which is going to give up big plays if you can get to him. You got to be able to run the ball first. You have to be able to protect Christian Ponder against this front seven, the odd man front, and some talented players. That's a hard thing to do. So the Vikings are going to have to mind their P's and Q's up front. Our offensive line coming off three very good games.
Yeah.
Dominated San Francisco's defensive front, went to Ford Field, took care of Ndamukong Suh, and then handled the Titans. So they're playing well, they're confident, but they have to continue to be that way to beat this Washington Redskins defensive line.
The Friday football feast tomorrow on FM 100.3. The Fan is at Buffalo Wild Wings Mall of America. Yours truly and Paul Charchi in doing that show. Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com stops by at 10:15 to analyze the game. Again, it's Buffalo Wild Wings Mall of America tomorrow. And we do a segment early in the show at about 9:35 called One Hit Wonders. Mm-hmm. It's a fantasy football related segment where you have to pick one guy who's a little bit off the radar. In this case, my guy's going to be a lot off the radar. I'm using this for tomorrow. So I'm stepping on my own Friday Football Feast touchdown call.
Uh-huh.
Tell me what you think of it if you don't think it's just the sneakiest, coolest thing you've ever heard. Washington is not only prone to giving up explosive plays, 15 pass plays at 25 yards or more, but they really struggle in the middle of the field against Kyle Rudolph types. So now you got Percy Harvin doing what he's doing. Adrian runs the ball. And they're going to focus on Kyle Rudolph because he's hot with those four touchdowns. We get inside the 20-yard line or the 15 or the 10. John Carlson catches his first touchdown of the season this weekend because they're focusing on 82, and there goes the Litchfield kid getting wide open and finally gets to spike the ball in the end zone and say yes.
So we go into the game talking about Fred Davis and the Vikings giving up tight end touchdowns, and we leave the game celebrating John Carlson's first touchdown as a Viking.
He may only have one catch. He may only have one catch, but I tell you what, you can look at that negative one on his first catch and then just a couple yards on his second catch. But if he has three catches this year through the first five games or first six games and one of them's a touchdown, he can say 33% of my receptions go for scores.
That's right. And then he won't be a one-hit wonder. He'll be an every week wonder. You know what? Leslie Frazier and Bill Musgrave have not been shy about saying we're trying to get John involved.
And
in
let's be
thing.
Serious. John Carlson did not forget how to play football, okay?
Oh, no.
He had some really good years with Seattle. It has to bug him about his lack of inclusion in the offense. But as I chatted with Leslie about early in the show, John could not have gotten hurt at a worse time. Because you have a quarterback coming off a full season of camps where he and Rudolph fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
You got Percy as an MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give the ball to 28. You know, and even when you get inside the 10, you're going to look for Michael Jenkins a little bit too. Now Red Ellison's catching the ball. So John Carlson, he just kind of got lost in the shuffle at the wrong time.
Yeah, and I like the take. I think it's good. I mean, John's going to be on the field too. It's just the Vikings haven't been able to get him the ball. I mean, there's only one football out there, and as you've mentioned, we got big-time, legitimate NFL-level weapons in Kyle Rudolph and Adrian and Percy. So it's hard to get the ball to everybody. Bill Musgrave is trying to get it to John, and you've been able to tell the last couple weeks there's plays in the game plan for John. It's just a matter of the opportunities matching up with what happens on the field. Maybe it'll happen this week. I like your one now, but you got to be prepared for something.
It's one hit wonder because fantasy.
They're going to kill you for it at the show.
I had Harry Douglas last week. Nobody cares about Harry Douglas. I used Chris Johnson one week. He averaged like 0.3 a carry.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly on an influential run with this thing. Plus, it's a hometown take.
Well, you're
I legitimately believe it because you have these teams better start focusing on Kyle Rudolph in the end zone or he's going to have like 12 touchdowns.
Yeah. And that would be great too if that happened because. If it goes according to what you just said, that means we're scoring a touchdown when we're in the red zone, and that's one area where I really want to see the Vikings improve. I mean, we're scoring 100% of the time when we get in the red zone, but 60% of the time it's been a touchdown.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad, but I think to win this game on the road, I think it's going to have to be higher than that, and it's not bad. It's not poor. It's better than most 60% touchdowns in the red zone, but I'd like to see the Vikings get better at that. When you get in the red zone, punch it in. It's a condensed field. It's harder to gain yardage. It's harder to score once you get in the red zone because there's less field for the defense to defend.
Yep.
Maybe we run the ball a little bit more, and maybe that sets up some play action once we get inside the 10 and John Carlson can shake loose and catch a touchdown.
A minute to go. There is a chance in this game Christian Ponder throws for more passing yards than Robert Griffin III. Now, I think the Vikings, who have not trailed in three games, I think the Vikings are going to lead early. And Washington's going to have to throw its way back in the game. So that can mess with my theory here. But I do believe this could be a big passing yards number for our guy.
I hope so. I mean, I think he's been playing well. We saw him get a little bit out of body at the end of the first half and throw that interception, but it was a good decision. So, and Leslie talked about it. What Christian was able to do was bounce back from a couple of bad plays and have a good second half despite those interceptions. But the other thing is, those interceptions were not bad decisions. They were bad throws, and Christian does not make a lot of bad throws. So I think he's going to be buttoned up, and this could be a big game for him. The other thing, this is Blair Walsh's first time kicking outdoors in the NFL, so that's going to be something to watch too.
See you tomorrow, Buffalo Wild Wings, Mall of America, 10:15.
I'll be there.
Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. We thank Joe and Jay Nelson, the producers of Vikings Live at Winter Park, likewise for Tim Cobb, and for all of us at the Vikings Entertainment Network and the flagship FM 100.3 The Fan. I'm Paul Allen. Thanks for listening to the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.